GOB68. What will they think of next? I'm not sure. I didn't look to see if there's anything about, was my reply to Hawkeye as we drove to one of our favourite local reserves. Her assumption was that my wish to go birding had been prompted by a rarity report or an alert from one of the mailing groups. It didn't strike me at the time, but this is evidence of a sea change in our birding habits. If I had a few days for myself, I picked an area of the country where I could guarantee everyday birds who were not on my doorstep, always hopeful, of course, that I'd also see something more unexpected. My in-laws lived in Bournemouth, so a weekend there would allow a drive into the New Forest, a day at Arne RSPB Reserve, or perhaps an evening spent looking for nightjars. Early in the year, a search for Dartford warblers might turn up an overwintering great grey shrike. A spring day in the forest after red starts might also turn up hawfinch, and any time of year at Arne could turn up, well, anything really. Over the years, I saw everything from spoonbills to wood warblers. A decade later, and our visits coincided with the Little Egret colonisation around Arne, you could see half a dozen all in one place. An erstwhile rarity has now become commonplace, of course. Mooching about in likely habitat was how the vast majority of us watched birds then. Unless you were a more casual walker, just noting what you came across, or perhaps a really dedicated patchworker, covering the same territory day after day. By the late 1980s, I had joined thousands of others who had got the twitching bug, and my outings were geared to getting to birds I'd never seen before. Nothing made me more aware of my growing disability than my struggle to see a twitchable red-flanked blue-tail in Dorset, or a walk back from a Derbyshire Richards pipit that, frankly, nearly killed me. Not the pipit, that is, the walk. Who knew years later I'd see the former in my local park and find one of the latter for myself. The thing is, for a while, I was addicted to bird lines, pages and rarity reports and never went birding without a rarity targeted. I didn't twitch for many years, but by then I got into the habit of seeking out birds that other people had found for me. Most of us still do. That's not to say we don't ever go to places on spec or even find our own rarities, just that using communications technology has now become built into birding. Our birding behaviour has changed in many ways, courtesy of birdsong ID systems or masterclasses in rarity spotting. Wandering about with your bins for the fun of it seems to have become a thing of the past. I've just been reading about software developed to ID birds. Apparently, it gets the right bird in the top three suggested species 90% of the time. That's from a photograph. No matter how poor the snap is. It made me check the calendar to see if it was April the 1st. And it then made me think, why? Why would you want to leave ID to a machine any more than you would want to only ever go to see what someone else found for you? Sure, the enjoyment of finding good birds and knowing that you have, along with just enjoying their beauty and behaviour, is what birding's all about. Are we draining the pleasure out of the pastime by abandoning field craft and turning our hobby into a competitive sport with ever-improving sports gear to take the physical and mental effort out of it? When I rerun my sightings past my built-in computer, I either know what I saw or I don't, and I'm content to let them go. I let what's missed remain a mystery.